The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Lowe's knows how to help you save this 4th of July. Upgrade your laundry routine with the new and exclusive first-of-its-kind all-in-one vented laundry combo. Wash and dry in just 68 minutes. Save up to 40% on select major appliances. Plus, when you buy more, you save more. Shop Samsung this July 4th at Lowe's. Valid through 7/9. See Lowe's.com for details. Savings vary based on purchase amount. Selection varies by location.
When is the right time to invest in real estate? It's a question I probably get more than any other question. Emails, Instagram messages, text messages, who knows? But I get that question an awful lot. And that's what we're going to talk about today with my guest. Eric Boland is an entrepreneur, real estate investor, Amazon best-selling author who retired at the age of 30. He bought his first property back in 2009. Maybe that was the best time to invest in real estate. Maybe it wasn't. We're going to find out. And now he has over 480 units of rental property. And Eric is my guest on the show today to talk about that and so much more. Welcome to the Investing in Real Estate show, my friend.
Hey, Clayton. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Great to have you here. So give us a little backstory here. How did you get started in real estate investing? And, you know, we'll dive deeper into this idea of like timing the market, because I know you get really passionate about it, and so do I. But take us back to maybe your first deal, or what sort of got you fired up about getting started in real estate investing?
Yeah, it was a total accident, actually. I was trying to buy a home for myself. If I remember correctly, there was a first-time home buyer tax credit, and I'm like, I'm going to get that. And but I couldn't qualify as a full-time student. I was working on my PhD in economics, which I actually never got. I dropped out to get into real estate later, but I wanted to buy a home and I couldn't qualify because I had a bunch of debt and a bunch of part-time jobs, no real income. And then I discovered if you buy a small multifamily, like a 2, 3, or 4 unit, that it can help you qualify because the extra rent gets added to your income for qualification purposes. So I ended up buying a 3-family. And that's how I actually got into real estate. But my intention back then was I was going to sell it after a few years. I thought like the recession would be over and I would sell it after a few years. I'd go be a professor somewhere, sell that, be a normal person, go buy a house. That was my plan. And that never really happened.
What year was that?
That was 2009 when I made that purchase, November 2009.
And so it kind of shifted your plans. Was it the taste of the multifamily that kind of shifted your perspective on things?
Well, what really changed everything was when I got my first rent check from one of my tenants. I was sitting on a couch watching TV and I got a knock on my door at like 9 o'clock at night. And I couldn't really afford a nice neighborhood. So this is kind of a bad neighborhood. People don't go walking around at night there. And so I'm like, all right, who's at my door? And I open up, it's my tenant there to pay me to rent. And he paid me cash because he was a drug dealer. And but anyway, I wrote him his receipt, sat down. I'm like, damn, this is the easiest money I've ever earned in my life. And I mean, that was a couple weeks worth of pay, like a job for me at the time. And I realized that night that I wanted money to come find me. I wanted money to knock at my door and I didn't want to have to go hustle and grind for money for the rest of my life. And that night I just discovered passive income essentially. And it completely changed my life.
That's great. And I know that first feeling. I've recounted the story here on the show, but for any of our listeners who are new to the podcast, I've told the story, but when I was at the gym one day with my wife, one of our first two rental properties we had, we finally got a tenant in there, and it was, you know, for us at that point, it was, it was not a proven strategy, right? Until that first check comes in from that first tenant, that sort of proof of concept doesn't exist yet until it's finalized. And I remember almost crying. I was kind of in tears. I said, we did it, you know, and it's an amazing feeling, isn't it?
Oh yeah, absolutely. It was life-changing. It was for me at least. And You know, it was just a couple of years later, I was out of my program in real estate full time, swinging a hammer and working on properties. So
you go from, tell me about that first property. Was it an off-market property? Did you work through a realtor? Did you do the work yourself? Kind of take me through the mechanics of that first deal.
Yeah. So when I bought it, the intent wasn't to be an investor. The intent was to have a home and just get qualified. So it was habitable. It wasn't great. It was pretty run down, but somehow passed the FHA inspection. Shouldn't have. They're way stricter on inspections now, but back then it snuck through. And it was on market. I had a real estate agent. I bought it at market value, which was, you know, very low back then, but it wasn't a good deal. In fact, if it was today, I wouldn't buy it. You know, it got my foot in the door, but that's it. And then I renovated each unit as the tenants moved out. That wasn't the original intention. I needed the rent to actually pay my bills. So I didn't want them to move, but when they did move, I just installed new floors, painted it up a little bit, and just kind of improved it slowly over time. And that's all there was to it. I still own it, actually.
So, and did you live in one of the units?
Yes. Yes. I lived in one, and then I had a roommate and two tenants because there's three families. So the tenants paid the mortgage. The two tenants paid the mortgage, and my roommate paid a small rent plus half of the utilities. And their half of the utilities plus the rent, basically it was the total cost of all the utilities. So I lived totally for free.
This is the old saying, house hacking, right? This is a great place to start, especially if you don't have the funds. Your credit wasn't in great shape. You didn't have the salary. You didn't have the revenue coming in to be able to do it on your own. So you're leveraging the other tenants in the units paying for you to live, right?
Absolutely. And I think back then, I don't think the word house hacking had been around yet, but that's exactly what it was.
Yeah, it's a great strategy. So you say you would, I love that too, which is you say you today, you know, you're wiser, you're older, you've done 480 units. And I, like you, I think at the beginning, I might not have bought the properties, some of them along the way that I did. But what about that property do you think now you wouldn't have bought it, even though it's still in your portfolio? So something about it is attractive.
Mm-hmm. So the way that so it's got a lot of appreciation over the years. Obviously, the market has changed. And the reason why I wouldn't have bought it is because at that point in time, there wasn't a lot of upside potential for the value, at least. It cash flowed, it paid the bills. But now I also invest differently. So back then, I just needed to pay my mortgage. Now I actually want to earn a good profit on each property, add a lot of value to them, and have good cash flow. So it fit for what I needed at that point in time, but it doesn't fit under the way that I currently invest.
So how do you currently invest?
Yeah, so I'm usually looking for properties that have a lot of upside potential as far as adding value in some way. It could be through renovations, or, you know, sometimes it's just changing out the tenants, or maybe you got a burnt out seller, something where I'm getting it below its potential value. And then I'm putting in good tenants, raising those rents, and generally, not always, but there's generally a refinance where I'm trying to cash out most or all of the money that I put into it.
That's great. And so what sort of financing vehicles are you using these days? Are you mostly focused on cash purchases and then cash out refinances with a traditional bank? How does that look for you?
Yeah. So most recently, I'm actually raising capital on a debt side from, you know, investors. You know, I've built up a list of investors, and I just send an email and say, I need cash. They'll loan me the money. I buy the property. Usually the loan covers most or all of the rehab as well. And then I'll generally do a commercial financing. I found a lot of local banks do commercial loans through your LLCs, even on small properties, even on single families.
Today's episode is brought to you by LegalZoom. It's still earlier in the year, but if you run a small business, you know 2020 is going to fly by. That's why you should use LegalZoom right now to make sure that you're set up for success. Over the past 19 years, LegalZoom has helped more than 2 million Americans start their businesses by incorporating, forming an LLC, and more. But even after your business is set up,
LegalZoom can still help you out with a lot more things like lease agreements, changing tax laws, and reviewing contracts. They all play a part in running your own business. We just saw some big changes to the tax code. I mean, you need to be up on top of this stuff, right? These are precisely the kinds of costly hurdles that can take time away from growing your business. So don't let that happen. LegalZoom's network of independent attorneys and tax professionals can provide advice to address these things and more. And you'll never get charged by the hour, since LegalZoom isn't a law firm. So go to LegalZoom.com today and enter the promo code INVESTING in the box at checkout for special savings. That's LegalZoom.com and use that code INVESTING. LegalZoom, where life meets legal.
Has it become now single families? That's basically been my game. I own some multifamilies, but single families and duplexes are my favorites. What are you finding these days? I've talked to a lot of multifamily investors who just find it very difficult to find big deals right now, and they've just been sort of sitting and waiting and really see the value in single families and duplexes right now. What about you?
Yeah, so my niche is the small multifamily, or what I call the small multifamily. A lot of the multifamily players are talking 60, 80, or 100 units or more. And I've been involved in some apartment complex deals, and I've also done single family. But I really like 4, 5, 6 unit type properties. They're in this kind of middle area where a lot of single family guys aren't buying them, and the multifamily guys aren't looking at them either. And there's a lot of cash flow potential, at least what I've seen.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I love my single families, but I love my duplexes as well. And I've got a few of those a little bit larger ones as well. And they're such a great mix in the portfolio. So let's talk about that first deal. You bought it in 2009. And that's sort of the premise of today's episode. And I know you get passionate about this question of when should I buy it? You know, is now the right time to buy, or is it too inflated? Is it too terrible of an economy? Are we about to head into a crash? And should I buy a rental property now, or should I wait? That's the big question. Should I wait? What do you think?
Simple answer, no, you should not wait. There was the thing about buying in 2009. It's great as far as appreciation now, and I look back. But in 2009, just think about it. In 2009, the world was collapsing. Like that, right. Literally, people believed that. The whole modern economic system was falling apart, and nobody knew what was going to happen. I mean, it was like being in shark infested waters, and somebody's like, there's a lot of blood there too. Like, it was a really bad place to be. And there was not a single person that was like, you should be buying real estate right now. Nobody. Everybody thought it was crazy. And it was actually really hard to get by because, the numbers look great on paper, but nobody could pay the rent because nobody had jobs. So even if you put a tenant in there, they would stop paying the rent after a few months. And so it was really, really challenging. Getting started. And, it was not fun at all. Nowadays, I put an ad up and I get 40 applications to fill it, the tenant. So it's really easy to fill. And there's a lot of money available right now.
No, I think you bring up a great point. Like, and I think in some ways, we talked about this before the show, but in some ways, it kind of cheapens what you did to acquire that property. It wasn't easy, right? You tried to go a certain way. You couldn't. You had to swerve and to get creative. Without what you did, you had to live in the property, right? You had to sort of simultaneously be renovating underneath the feet of the tenants in there so you didn't lose those tenants. So for someone to say to you, oh, 2009, you're lucky, Eric. You know, you got a great deal. Those were the heydays, but it was not easy.
Oh, no, it was way harder to invest then than it is now. Nowadays, like, there's financing. So back then, I couldn't even find a bank that would give me a commercial loan back then. The banks were like, yeah, we're not really lending. I had to strong arm people basically, like really make things look a lot better than they really were to try to get financing on deals. And, you know, the standards were really bad. It was just, they didn't want to even give residential loans because of all the whole collapse. Like you had to jump through hoops. It took me 2 months to get financed on a standard personal loan. It was just crazy. So, you know, yeah, it was good looking back at it now. It was great and great decision. But at that exact moment in time, it did not feel like the right decision. I had a lot of doubt. And, and one thing over the years too, I went back and I thought about it. And every single year since 2009 until 2019, somebody had a different reason to not to not invest. Like 2009, the world was collapsing. Like by 2011, like the world had collapsed, right? And so now it's the wrong time. And then by 2013, it's like, all right, there's a recovery, but not really. Nobody's got jobs still. So bad time. And then by 2015, the market's too hot. Right? So it's like, all right, it's too hot now. And then let's see, 2016, everybody's like, oh, Donald Trump got elected. Okay. Or whatever. And it's like, all right, now 2019, it's just, you know, interest rates going up, then interest rates going down. There's always a different reason to not invest. And, you know, all of those reasons have been wrong. As long as you're buying the right deals at that particular moment in time.
That's such a great point. Right. If you're buying correctly, right? You're buying, and that's different for everybody. It could be that you're just not over leveraged. There's all different factors that go into this, but you're right. I mean, I've bought properties all along that time spectrum, even as recently as just a few weeks ago, right? And so it doesn't matter to me what the year is. It just matters what the deal is and does it make sense for me financially? Because to your point, like I've got waiting lists right now for tenants in our, you know, in our properties and some of the new construction we're doing. It's like, if there's a tenant that moves out, it's filled a week later, you know, after a tenant turnover. That's not the way it was in 2009. And so now you could say, well, now it could just be harder to find deals today, right? Is that what we're up against today in 2020? It's just harder to find deals.
Yeah, absolutely. There's always going to be a limiting factor or kind of a constraint that you got to work around. And so 10 years ago, the constraint was there's tons of deals around, but you had no tenants and no money. Nobody wanted to open their bank account and invest because they were scared. Nowadays, everybody's got money, tenants are lined up, but you're having a hard time finding the opportunities. So there's always going to be a constraint. And, you know, going back over the last 10 years, I don't know when the right time to buy was. Maybe there is this like 6-month window where everybody agreed it was the right time to buy, but I missed that, obviously. So right. There's always a constraint that you got to work around. And it's just, you got to adapt based on the constraints. You know, I used to be able, 10 years ago, I could go on the MLS and find 30 good deals, but I couldn't buy any of them.
Right. It's a great point. I mean, the days of finding some of my first few deals were, you know, whatever, foreclosures and short sales. Well, those are gone. I mean, you if you're lucky, you can still find something like that, but those are all the dried up and you could find those sitting on the MLS for 90 days because no one could get financing to pick them up. So unless you had cash or you had some other way of creatively getting those deals, they weren't really going to be available. And you're right, maybe there was this window where after the crash happened, people were just dumping properties left and right and you could pick them up for pennies on the dollar, but you couldn't fill them with tenants. And then you're sitting there and you certainly weren't going to be able to flip them for anything anymore.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Like that's why I said there's no right time to buy. It sounded great, but you would have to sit on them. Like, and I was just getting started. I didn't have money to just go buy property and sit on it. Like Blackstone did or whatever. Like I couldn't do that. I had to make them work now. And, you know, so my strategy had to be, I had to get them, even though they were worth a third of what they're worth now, I even had to get them on a bigger discount because I still had to, I had to make them work at that exact moment in time. I wasn't planning to hold them. Like I planned to hold them for 10 years, but I wasn't like, oh, 10 years from now, I'll make money on them. That wasn't the plan.
No, and another great point you bring up, man, I've invested side by side and seeing some of these large institutional buyers picking up huge swaths of properties. And I always wanted to make my properties get up in cash flowing as quickly as possible after a renovation. Well, a big company like Blackstone or God knows, you know, some of these hedge funds that fell apart that went into Tampa and other places and bought up hundreds of properties and they sat on them because they couldn't find contractors. They were from out of state. They didn't know what they were doing. And then they sat on them and then they started accruing all kinds of penalties and fines from the city for high grass and failure to board up the properties. And before you know it, that $10,000 property they picked up had $10,000 in fines on it. And the people that had put money into Blackstone, these other places were, you know, getting a little, they had to start unloading a lot of these properties for even cheaper than they picked them up. So yeah, they thought it was the right time to buy and they just didn't know how to handle it at the time.
Well, it's always the right time to buy. They just were buying wrong. They weren't necessarily
right, exactly.
buying.
Yeah. I said it in reverse, right? Yeah, they bought at the right time. They just didn't know what they were doing at that time.
Right. Exactly. Well, and it's like it may have been the right time to get them cheap, but you know, like you said, getting the team together to do the renovations that were necessary, then getting the tenants filled as quickly as possible to start getting a cash flow. You know, they didn't have that strategy in place. Some of these companies, some did really well, I assume. But, you know, so at that point in time, I still had to get them low priced, lower than, so even though the market, let's just say you took a property that's market value 100 grand then, and it's marked today, it's worth like 300 grand. I still had to buy it for like 50 grand. I still was looking for that discount to be able to justify doing the renovations and getting the tenants in there. And so the strategy hasn't really changed, just the price point has changed. For me, and I've always been focused on cash flow because, you know, it doesn't matter what the property's worth. If you can't pay your mortgage with it, you're going to lose it.
Today's episode is brought to you by Lightstream. How much money are you paying in interest on your credit cards every month? Too much? Then why not consolidate all of your credit cards into just one payment at a lower fixed rate and start saving some money? So listen to this. It's easy. With a credit card consolidation loan from Lightstream. Rates are as low as 5.9% APR with autopay. It's much lower than the national average interest rate, which is on credit cards over 20%. So you can get a loan from anywhere from $5,000 up to $100,000 with absolutely no fees. You can even get your money as soon as the day you apply. Lightstream believes that people with good credit deserve a better loan experience, and that's exactly what they deliver. And listen to a few of their client testimonials. Here's one that says, I applied for this loan after hearing an ad on the radio. I'm ever the skeptic, and I decided to check it out anyway. I was amazed how easy the process was and had the money in my bank account within 2 days. I would recommend this company to everyone. So for my listeners, you're going to get a special discounted rate right now and save even more. They've set this up for us. The only way to get this discount is to go to lightstream.com/investing. That's lightstream.com/investing. lightstream.com/investing to try to get that really awesome discount, right? So subject to credit approval, rate includes a 0.5% auto pay discount. So if you check the auto pay, you get to use that extra discount. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/investing for more information. Thanks, Lightstream.
So what do you say to somebody who is just starting the process of real estate investing and, you know, is looking for all kinds of excuses to not take action? Can you ever really move someone like that across the, you know, over those speed bumps? Because I've literally had people who've reached out to me over the years, and I'll see an email or get a DM from them, and I'll be like, oh, I remember that person from a year ago asking me questions, and a year later they still haven't done something. What do you say to those people?
They're looking for a grand slam deal up front. What they really need is like a base hit, and that's one thing I learned about my first deal. It was like a base hit. It worked, but if I really looked for that grand slam, I probably wouldn't have found it. I probably wouldn't have even known how to find it. I wouldn't have known what was a good deal or what was not a good deal. I just needed a deal. So they just need a deal. They need to stop worrying about if they're going to earn whatever amount. They just got to do something. They just have to take that first step. And it doesn't have to be, as long as they don't lose money. Like my first house flip, I made like $1,000 on it for like 6 months worth of work. You know, so, but you want to know what? I learned a lot on that about dealing with contractors and that I hated house flipping. So I stopped that. You know, I learned a lot. So they just need something like that. They just need to get to take some action, and it doesn't have to be a great deal.
Right. Yeah. You can listen to all the podcasts you want. You can read all the blogs you want, but until you actually get out there and start taking action, you're never going to learn. And you've got
like this one guy I know, I won't say any names or anything, but he had hired a lot of coaches, and I love coaching. I think coaching is great. I've hired coaches and stuff, and there's a lot of value to it if you're in a position and ready to take action on it. But this person had spent six figures on various coaches.
Ooh.
And I had asked him, I'm like, oh, what do you own? Like, yeah, if he had spent $100,000, but he had like a $10 million portfolio or something, I'd be like, all right, that clearly worked. But he had never even bought a house. Oh. And I'm like, man, you're so afraid of losing money. If you had just taken $100,000, bought a crappy house, lost half of your money, you would know more and have more money.
Right. Oh man, what I could do, you know, with $100,000 from some, God knows where he spent it. I hope that's
well,
awful.
He just bounced from program to program and never took action on anything anybody was saying. And that was, yeah, that was the issue. So, you know, I'm not sure that there's any thing, one thing that you can say, but I wouldn't allow that fear of losing to stop me. You got to find something that's acceptable, not necessarily, you know, perfect.
Right. Well, Eric, thank you so much for joining us, man. It's been a great, and I love this topic. We've, in the 400 or 500 episodes we've done on this show, we've never really drilled down deep on that exact point. So I was glad to talk about it today. And I am in total alignment with you on that philosophy. It's always the right time to buy. You just got to do it correctly and know what you know. Just to take your licks, even get that base hit right off the top. So how can people connect with you? Want to learn more about everything that you're teaching these days?
Yeah, so they can check out my website, idealrei.com. And, you know, they can jump on my my mailing list or email me through that. Also, I don't know if you mind, but I do have an event coming up in March.
Oh, great. Yeah, tell us about it.
Yeah, so it's just going to be a lot about my philosophy and you know, a lot of the fundamentals. I did my first event in October. I mean, it was so impactful, like for people. Like I had a guy crying because his life had changed. It was unbelievable.
Wow.
And so it's 10xmyportfolio.com.
Awesome. We'll make sure we have links to that in the show notes. And look, we're all about trying to change people's lives here on the show. And I always say, if you're listening to this show and you get one piece of information that like moves you in a direction, I mean, I love getting emails from people like a year later that say, hey, you know, I started just by listening to this show and now I own 4 properties and I'm leaving my job. You know, it was this one episode that made me do it. It was this one thing. So it could always be just this one episode that you heard today with Eric that could help move that needle. So Eric, I want to thank you so much for joining us on the show. It's been a real treat having you here.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thank you so much for having me.
And thanks to all of you for downloading and subscribing. And thanks to Inc. Magazine for naming us one of the top business podcasts. We really appreciate it. Thanks for leaving your kind 5-star reviews. We publish the show 3 times a week. You can check us out on Mondays, Wednesdays, and today on Thursdays with an expert like Eric who joins us on the show. We'll see you back here on Monday, everyone. Now go out there and take action. Become a real estate investor because I believe it's the number one way to build wealth. And it's always the right time to buy a property. We'll see you next time.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.